Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. Time once again for Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. Travis Ryer back alongside my great friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Beard, and we have our show mascot making his usual appearance here to kick off the show. Brent,
yes.
The one, the only, Chino. Chino is a big fan of the program.
He is. No, he likes to come by and give his contributions. Unfortunately, he's going to the van in the morning to get some fluids and maybe a shot of this and a shot of that. Chino's at 16 years old now, and unfortunately, we're kind of doing our maintenance on him on a daily basis to make sure he eats and drinks plenty.
Chino's like the rest of us. He's day to day, you know, day to day at
yeah.
this point. We're just
Thank
all
you.
trying yeah. to make it. And boy, we got a lot to talk about as it relates to the Southeastern Conference. Brent, we've got Tex Titer, one of our loyal viewers here in the live show chat, checking in. Howdy, boys. He offers up. Tex, what's going on, my man? We would love to hear from the rest of you as well as we get going on a live edition of Second Helping. It is a Wednesday night. We are well into the start of the basketball season in the Southeastern Conference. And Brent, you know, we anticipated this being a very deep league. I don't know, and it's still very early. You know, we're 3 or 4 conference games in at this point. I'm not sure I anticipated this league being as deep from a legitimate conference championship contender Yes. perspective. And just in the last 3 or 4 days, we've seen that come to fruition, especially Tuesday night. I mean, Ole Miss goes into Tuscaloosa, knocks off a top 10 team in the Alabama Crimson Tide. And what about Missouri?
Yeah.
Going into Gainesville and taking out a very good Florida team. Certainly, we expected Tennessee, Auburn, Alabama. I've liked Florida going back to the offseason as sort of an under the radar Final Four kind of team. But man, when this thing's all said and done, we might have 5, 6, or 7 teams legitimately in this race throughout.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. I mean, in the top 50 in the net rankings, the SEC, Trav, has 14 teams in the top 50.
Unreal. Really is.
That's just incredible. In the quad one wins, I mean, Auburn's got, and some of this, maybe a number off, but Auburn's got 7, Bama 4, A&M 4, Florida 4, State is 4, Ole Miss 4, Tennessee 4, Kentucky 4. I'll stop there. I think you get the point, right?
I think we do. And even tonight, as we do this program, you got Georgia on the road in Knoxville. At the half, the Dogs were up a point on the ball. That kind of league, that's a classic rock fight, it looks like, going on up there in Knoxville tonight. 26-25 at the half. Also coming up later tonight, Texas and OU. How about that rivalry in the SEC? Going to crank it up. And Norman coming up at 10 Eastern, 9 Central-ish anyway. And then earlier tonight, Vanderbilt moves to 2-2 in the league. South Carolina now at 0-4 in the league. And when you talk about teams that right now are still yearning for that first conference win, what about you got 2-0 for teams in Oklahoma, Texas playing tonight in the league? And what about Cal and the Hogs sitting there at 0-4 now after the loss to LSU last night?
Absolutely. To open things up, Arkansas with Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Florida, and then you add that onto it too. It's been a very difficult start for Coach Cal, but again, our reality is, I think we're just going to have some of that. I mean, Trav, at some point, even the leaders in the conference may have a minimum five, six losses. Is that possible?
Yeah, it's possible. You know, you got Auburn and Ole Miss right now at 4-0 in the league. Auburn, very impressive last night without Johnny Broom to just blow out Mississippi State, a solid Mississippi State team. That game played on the Plains. You got Alabama, Kentucky, Missouri at 3-1. Ole Miss is 4-0. Tennessee trying to get to 3-1 tonight.
Yeah.
In the league, Florida, as good as that team looks, sitting there at 2-2 now, you know, and it kind of tells you too, you kind of sleepwalk through a home game like Alabama did last night. Yeah. You kind of see that one coming a little bit for Alabama.
Yeah.
Because you had the two road games, then the turnaround from the Saturday night game to a Tuesday early game, even though it was at home against a really good Ole Miss team. And Ole Miss absolutely took care of business at Coleman Coliseum. So, but if you're Alabama, now you go on the road to Lexington,
really,
you know, to take on a 3-1 Kentucky team in the league. So just kind of speaks to even the stakes going up more than they had already risen as a league. It's not like this league needed OU and Texas to kind of take another step. But when you do throw the Longhorns and the Sooners into this thing now, it does ratchet it up quite a bit.
Well, and I'll throw another team in there, Trav. I know they've lost to Alabama and Kentucky, and that is Texas A&M.
Yeah.
But how good are they?
Taylor.
Yes. Yes, you're up my mind. Trav, how good are they going to be back with Wade Taylor back in the lineup? I think that's going to be really, really crucial for them. So we no way that we can be able to count them out, but this Kentucky team has been impressive. It's obvious Mark Pope has given them kind of some, what would you say, a breath of fresh air, a new start, and you see them being able to do that. But look, to your point, this is reminding me of football in a little bit in the SEC, that if you're not ready to play, and you were not motivated, you can absolutely get beat. And when you've got coaches like Chris Beard of Ole Miss and the just being a defensive savant that he is, Trav, it's been a while since I've seen this. Ole Miss had 70 shots.
Mm-hmm.
Bama had 47.
Yep.
Listen, when you, in basketball, I'd be curious what the equivalent of football would be for that. But when you've got that many more shots than your opponent, Trav, it's hard to lose, isn't it?
It is. And, I mean, Ole Miss essentially turned Alabama over. So that limited the number of shots that Alabama could get up. And then Alabama was taken to the woodshed on the offensive glass. They couldn't get offensive rebounds. And you heard Nate Oates talk about it postgame. If Alabama continues to shoot as poorly from the perimeter as it has to this point, as talented as it is, it's going to get tougher offensively because they have made a living with all those 6'10", 6'11 types on the offensive glass. That has kind of covered for the blemishes that this Alabama team has to this point of the season. It's not a season ender. No need to panic after losing to a really, really good Ole Miss team at home last night. But you go into conference play thinking, you know what, we got to take care of business at home.
Yep.
Try to steal a few on the road. Alabama had won a couple of road games, came back home, and now loses a home game. Makes you feel like you got to replace that with another road win.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that'll be the case for the Crimson Tide. It Rupp Arena coming up this Saturday. Brent, we got a lot of college football to talk about. We are there. We are down to two teams
for
the college football playoff national championship. Ohio State, not a surprise, really good football game in the win over Texas in Dallas and Arlington just a little bit ago. Boy, Sark, Longhorns had their chances. You know, it looked like early in that game, oh, here we go, another fast Ohio State start. This thing could get ugly, but to Texas's credit, kind of settled in. I thought Texas's defense helped the Longhorns sustain its chances through that game. You get down into some red zone situations, Sark on a second and goal calls for a toss into the boundary from the shotgun.
Yeah.
And you lose about 5 yards right there and you don't get in. You don't do what you need to do there in the red zone. That's a call that I'm sure will stick with Sark for a while. We give Ohio State a lot of credit, made the plays, made the key plays when the Buckeyes had to. Again, shouldn't be a surprise. Kind of figured that Ohio State throughout this entire season had the most talented roster in college football, but there the Buckeyes are after all the consternation of the home loss to Michigan to cap the regular season. Ryan Day now with another chance made the national championship game in that 2020 season only to fall to Alabama down in South Florida, but so looks like a more favorable matchup, I would say, this time with Notre Dame on the other side.
Yeah, I agree with that. Two things here. I'll go in reverse order. Certainly congratulations to Ohio State. They figured out after the Michigan loss that they can't play people in phone booth. They've got to get the ball to these receivers, particularly Jeremiah Smith. And even when he's doubled and tripled, they've got – two other guys who can really make a big difference too. And their defense, these are two of the better defenses as far as in points per game. Notre Dame leads with like 11. Ohio State leads with 11 and Notre Dame's right behind them with 14. So that's quite impressive. I did want to also mention before we close the book on Texas, three guys have closed the book on them too. Jaden Blue, their running back, has decided that he is going pro. Kelvin Banks, one of their better linemen, is going pro. Also, and one, Travis, I wanted to mention to you that really came about today, Quinn Ewers makes the definitive decision that on the last day that folks can declare that he is going to the draft. And what also makes this interesting for the conference that we hold near and dear is, and I know you saw this with your eagle eye too, Georgia and Alabama mentioned there's a couple teams, Trav, that at least inquired about one Quinn Ewers and maybe his availability from what we see in some reports.
Yeah, we've heard on a couple different fronts, Alabama linked to Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck.
Yeah.
Who we'll talk about more in depth coming up here, which if you're an Alabama fan, a couple things you have to take into account here. Would it surprise me if from the Ewers and Beck camp, that was floated out there that Alabama was interested? No.
Yeah,
it wouldn't. What do you think Alabama's response to that is going to be, especially when you've got a quarterback room that is pretty good still, even with Jalen Milroe turning pro?
Right.
Ty Simpson's a guy that's waited his turn. He does have talent. He's a capable guy. He is anticipated to make a strong run as the successor to Milroe, but then you've also got Keelan Russell coming in as a five-star freshman, maybe the top quarterback prospect for the 2025 recruiting cycle. You just never know for sure how things and now we've got representation for college players. So what are they putting out there?
Absolutely.
In terms of trying to better their situation for a guy. It kind of reminds me of Tyler Van Dyke couple years ago. Remember, he was at Miami and Alabama was interested in bringing him in. Ended up at Wisconsin. But yeah, it's who knows? It's kind of just open season as we know. I think for Quinn Ewers and some of these guys, unless I had a slam dunk first round grade, I'd play college football until they wouldn't let me play it anymore.
Absolutely.
Because if there's really 6 million out there for me for one season guaranteed, and I don't have that type of guarantee coming from the National Football League, I'm going to play college football and get my money.
No doubt.
I think that's pretty much what Carson Beck's going to do at Miami.
Yes.
And I don't think it's the dumbest approach in the world. In fact, I would say to Jalen Milroe, not that he cares what I think, nor should he, but if I was Jalen Milroe, I'd stay in college.
Yes.
And I'd hit the portal. Yes. And if Alabama wanted to keep me around and wanted to go to that extent financially to keep me, okay.
Yeah.
But if Michigan State or one of these teams really is interested in throwing four to $6 million around for one season, and I don't have a first round grade in college football in 2025, baby.
And look, what with the the money we've heard for Carson Beck is $4 million.
Yeah.
Now what I've been told, and you probably have too, was he basically played at Georgia for around the same amount of money or a little bit less, I guess. I think your point's a really good one. Trav, the other thing is, instead of going to the NFL and riding the bench, you can get to play another year, right?
Yeah, develop more maybe on the field. I think for some guys, though, they're just ready to make the jump. At least that used to be the thinking that was a little bit more understandable prior to NIL. But with NIL now, I'd have to have some pretty significant assurances before I left some of this cash
on
the table that maybe some of these guys are leaving. So what about Carson Beck to Miami? Obviously, the Hurricanes are a ACC program, so we don't really talk about them as much, but it is fascinating to consider Beck with Miami. You figured the Hurricanes would be in the market for a quarterback post-Cam Ward. That's kind of the way that's going to work, I think, moving forward for a lot of programs. And they obviously had the cash that they're willing to shell out. They had some ties other than just cash, as we know, with Carson Beck. But what about Georgia in this aftermath now? What's the sense you get in terms of the response, the reaction to those close to the program? Is it distressing that Carson Beck is not only going to stay in college, but he's going to play elsewhere? Or do you maybe get a sense, too, that this could ultimately in some way prove beneficial to the Bulldogs?
Let me tie a couple of these together real quick. First of all, for Beck at Miami, he had some intrigue, I think, with Shannon Dawson's offense, the Miami offense coordinator that runs some air raid, obviously from Mike Leach. They've got the number 9 transfer portal group. One of those is C.J. Daniels from LSU. Now, my understanding is, in reports, Cam Ward made about 1.6. Beck's going to make a little over 3 or close to 4.
There is no way. I know it's in retrospect.
Yeah. But
for me, there is no way Carson Beck should make twice as much. I don't see it. And plus, we're talking about the elbow.
Yeah,
absolutely. On top of everything else. I mean, we don't really know he's going to respond to that.
Absolutely not.
And you're going to pay him reportedly. Who knows, too?
Yeah.
We don't have contracts, access to a lot of that information.
Right.
You're going to pay him twice as much?
Yeah.
Is Cam Ward? Cam Ward was a hell of a deal then.
He really was. And look, there's Cam Ward can do things with his arm that a lot of guys can't. And for further SEC ties, Ole Miss analyst William Velachos.
Saw that.
Who was in Alabama, is also on the Miami staff there. By the way, Miami has a new D coordinator, Corey Heatherman, who came from Minnesota. They may have needed that as much as they needed anything, but to continue and tie this together, Trav, frankly, And look, Kirby never would say this, but the reality is, I think they were ready to really make that move for Gunnar Stockman. He played pretty well in the playoffs, frankly. And by the way, Oscar Delp is coming back now, the tight end, even though Trevor, I don't get this at all. Even though Trevor Etienne, he may be just tired of college, he's saying he's going.
Nate Frazier's taking that thing over, I think.
Sure, yes.
At the running back position. So I think for Trevor, it was probably either hit the portal again or just go ahead and hit the league or take a shot.
But did you get the same sense, Trav, that I did, that they really like Kirby, especially really like Stockton. Now, he's not being disparaging against Beck. I mean, in fairness, Beck was there 5 years, and anytime you're in school 5 years, you've certainly put your time in.
Yeah.
Right. So, and also, Beck, and let's be fair about this, Beck was 24-3 as a starter. Yeah. And now he does have a girlfriend down there in Hannah Kavener, plays for the basketball team.
Yeah. The Twins. I think, you know, Gunnar Stockton definitely gives sort of Eric Zier, sort of, if you're an old head like we are, maybe Buck Ballou, maybe Greg Talley, John Lastinger, if we want to go way, way back. He's a Georgia guy, right? I get almost some Stetson Bennett, right?
Yeah, I'm
kind
sure.
Of like a Kirby guy. He feels more like a Kirby guy.
He does, absolutely.
Just like Stetson Bennett felt like a Kirby / Bobo guy.
Yeah, yes.
I get those vibes from Gunnar Stockton. Now, look. You know, you still got to be able to produce. And we talked about this after the loss to Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. We didn't necessarily think that it was a Stockton issue for the Bulldogs as much in that game. Whether it's fair or not with Beck moving on, and you talked about the intrigue with the Miami system and some of the concepts that Beck will be moving into with the Hurricanes. That's just more blowback for Mike Bobo too.
True.
Moving on from Mike Bobo, it was archaic. The approach wasn't translatable enough to the NFL, all those things. I don't know if I really buy into that, but it doesn't matter. That narrative's going to get pushed regardless.
Yes. Yeah. I'm intrigued what you think about these two. Number one, Brett Thorson's coming back, the punter. Who is incredibly valuable.
Bigger than people realize. Yeah.
Trev, why did Dominic Lovett it really never clicked, did it? He's going into the draft. But boy, he and those Georgia receivers, you know good and well in that football building, receivers catch the ball in 2025 is the mantra, isn't it?
Yeah. That surprised me with Lovett because I thought even at Missouri, he was a pretty sure-handed guy.
Yes,
I thought Dylan Bell probably had even more problems catching the football than Dom Lovett did.
Really?
The tight ends, you know, the drop-off from Brock Bowers to Delp and Lucky and the rest of those guys wasn't anticipated to be as significant as it ended up being. And that's probably not fair to Delp and Lucky because Brock Bowers is a freak. I mean, they just don't make them like Brock Bowers. It was probably simple-minded to think, Delp and Lucky, they'll be Bowerish. You know, that wasn't going to happen. So,
no,
it's going to be a very interesting offseason for the Georgia Bulldogs. They did sort of backfill via the transfer portal at those wide receiver spots. I'm interested in Zach Branch in that offense.
Yes.
Is he going to get enough opportunities in that offense? I think there's some ways to use Zach Branch that maybe Lincoln Riley and that offense at SC didn't do enough of, like hand him the football, get it to him on jets, things like that, more than what Oklahoma tried to do. Plus Branch in the return game can be a real factor there. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not the biggest Carson Beck guy on the face of the planet.
Yeah,
you know, I've made the comp to sort of a Dollar General Trevor Lawrence with Carson Beck. Mm-hmm. And now coming off this injury, I've got even more sort of concerns for him. But, we'll see. I mean, it's fascinating to see what this offense can be with Stockton. And then also, you know, you start seeing these way too early top 25s, top 10s already. We haven't even had the national championship game this Monday night. It looks like a lot of the same teams are going to be mentioned. I think Alabama, you're starting to see, though, after that 9-4, not as much top three or top five. You're seeing Alabama down towards the bottom of the top 10 and maybe even just on the outside looking in. And it just sort of speaks to, again, how big this year two is going to be for Kalen DeBoer. And it does start right there at the quarterback position.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I think I'm with you. I think that's a pretty healthy quarterback room. I still think Ty Simpson, I mean, he certainly he's had his share of offense coordinators. But, I mean, he knows the system. I think they can trust him. In a lot of ways. So I think they've got some pretty good stair steps. Look, whoever's going to be quarterback, Jeremy Bernard coming back, huge, isn't it?
Ryan Williams, Jeremy Bernard, yeah.
And Jaden Roberts, certainly on the offensive line, Jam Miller coming back. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think some of the depth is a question mark right now. But Trav from Bama, as far as their starters coming back, I can certainly see why people look at them to be a top 10 football team.
A top 10, but I think if you outline these same guys coming back, and we didn't even talk about the defense, which is returning like eight starters.
Yes.
And was perceived to be the better side of the football by the end of the season for this Alabama team, this latest Alabama team. I think if you were talking about these same type of returnees with Nick Saban as the head coach, they'd be top three, top five.
Oh, absolutely.
And instead, you know, they're sort of 8 to 10-ish, it looks like, in some of those situations. And again, defensively with Kane Womack and, you know, the good news that they've continued to get on the defensive side of the ball, Deontay Lawson coming back after his tough injury late in the regular season, Justin Jefferson coming back at the inside linebacker position, even with Malachi Moore moving on, even with Jahad Campbell moving on, Tim Smith, that's a good looking front line group of defensive players. I think they still need that real war daddy type on that defensive front between the defensive front and the edge positions. Maybe that's LT Overton in 2025. Mm-hmm. Maybe Tim Keenan still got some room to grow there as an interior guy. They still need those type of difference makers. I think corner, they're going to be exceptional. They're going to be exceptional. I think safety with Keon Sabb coming back, Bray Hubbard, Zay Mincy, a young player, you know, they get that situation at that Husky, that nickel corner figured out exactly the way they want it. Yeah. I mean, the pieces are in place. They're going to lose, I think, a specialist or two in special teams, but even with Milroe moving on at the quarterback position, should be plenty of star power, and that quarterback situation is going to be fascinating to watch play out, because maybe Kalen DeBoer was kind of honored that previous situation too much and didn't open it up enough.
I don't
get the sense that's going to be the situation this spring and beyond. I think Kalen DeBoer, I know any of these guys anything.
No.
Get the best guy.
That's right.
To fit what you want to be moving forward. Because if you don't do it now, there's no guarantee that you're going to get to try to do it again in a year or two.
No, because he won't be around in a year or two if that continues.
That would surprise me if he was a two or three and out, because I think Kalen DeBoer is a good football coach. But I'm just saying, get it the way you want it right now. And that goes for every aspect of the program. That's the thing I've consistently implored here in the last month or so, because you can't keep kicking the can down the road. This is your baby. You need to run it the way you need to run it. If it's not going to be an offense that is huge on the running back position, then you better get the damn quarterback position right.
Soon. And whoever the quarterback is needs to be a lot more accurate too. And a little footnote to all this, the Florida State Seminoles announced today that they weren't having a spring game because of their construction on the stadium. Which I'm sure if folks don't know now, they will in the next few months as they look at schedules. One of the more intriguing openers is Bama going to Tallahassee to play Florida State to open the season in a in a game that will have a lot of mystery for both these teams.
Yeah. Alabama finished the season in Tampa. Will open the season 2025 in Tallahassee, and kind of getting back to back and kind of tying that into Florida State.
Yeah.
I get a little DJU vibes from Beck with Miami. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it won't work out that way, but we'll see how it goes down there in South Florida. So, you know, quarterback, as we continue with that thing, Brent, such a big part of it. You're seeing lists already for 2025 yes. top quarterbacks in the right. SEC first team. I'll tell you what, I'm a little surprised I don't see more of DJ Lagway on yeah. some of those lists. The Florida quarterback, because of how vital he was to that Gator football team in 2024. Now, look, I get it. You can look around the Southeastern Conference and think, you know, Nico maybe at Tennessee, Lenora Sellers now. It's South Carolina going to get a lot mm-hmm. of that love as well. Mm-hmm. But if it's possible, it feels like maybe DJ Lagway is going to fly under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, maybe so. And I've seen one list, Trav, where he's number two.
Yeah.
Garrett Nussmeier is number one. Lenore Sellers is three. Arch Manning.
Going to be a lot of Arch hype.
Oh, yeah. It will be unbelievable. And Trav, our guy, Diego Pavia, number five. How about
should
that?
Should be number one. I mean, he should be number one. But, I agree. You know, they're going to continue to – And that, boy, that makes it, you know, hates that opponents of Vanderbilt, because yeah, that just feeds that dude's fire, you know, the little engine that could. It from a quarterback perspective, it's going to be a unique season. Alabama obviously undergoing some change. You know, how does Hugh get that deal going there at Auburn? Either with the, you know, the high school avenue or the transfer option. And then, you know, we talk about it too, returning head coaches to the Southeastern Conference. We talked about this a little bit before the show. You know, if we had gone in to the season and I had told you, look, on January 15th of 2025, there is going to have been no turnover
mm-hmm.
at the head coach level in the Southeastern Conference, I think I could have got some pretty good bets coming in on that wouldn't be the case, Brent.
Yeah. Oh, because Sam Pittman of Arkansas and Billy Napier of Florida were among the top two in all those lists, weren't
even
they?
Even Beamer a little bit.
Yeah.
Mark Lee. I mean, yeah. Do you think, Brent, though, that some of this – I mean, look, Pittman, I guess, did enough, made a bowl game. And that offense took a big step with Bobby Petrino back in Fayetteville. I think a lot of folks out there like Travis Williams on the defensive side of the ball. But still, it was a 6-6 season. In some ways, it felt like some coaches did just enough, right? Yeah. Billy Napier, Lagway, a big part of that. Mm-hmm. Clark Lee, Diego Pavi. You want to know how much quarterbacks mean, man. Taylen Green and what he was able to do at Arkansas. Yeah. I mean, you can almost connect those guys to their coaches still being employed, I think.
Oh, yeah. Listen, two things really caught my eye. And listen, this is the first one's at Missouri is Jalen Catlon, who you and I raved about at Arkansas.
Had the injuries.
To UNLV, and Trav, now he's at Missouri.
I guess he reunited with Barry Odom out there at UNLV, right?
Yeah.
Because Odom was at Arkansas with him, and then Odom went to UNLV. Yes. But now he's on the move again, you're telling me?
Yeah, he's at Missouri.
Why not? Right?
But Trav.
He's a good player. He was a good player before the injuries.
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, because he redshirted and because of COVID, Trav, this is season number 7 coming up, by the way.
It's
And another one that caught my attention, and a couple of things about the Tennessee Vols I want to mention. First of all, my understanding is Tim Banks, their D coordinator, who frankly, quietly, has done a really pretty good job for them. He was a Brian Broyles Award finalist in years past. He is going to be signing an extension. His name was mentioned. Trev, wasn't it Clemson? His
they
name
ended
came
up hiring Tom Allen from Penn
they
State.
Did. They sure did. Also, in another, what I thought, I'm because of my old school roots, I've always been interested in the radio play-by-play guys, but Bob Kessling, longtime Tennessee play-by-play guy, leaving after basketball season, and Mike Keith, who is legendary up in Knoxville, and help me on this. I believe
the play-by-play guy for the Titans.
He's leaving the
Titans to go to Tennessee. Which, look, that's a big time job. I mean, you're talking about obviously the great John Ward is what I kind of connect with before Kessling.
Right.
So it's a significant job. Don't get me wrong, but it also maybe speaks to how bad the Titans are too. But I think for Keith, it resonated with him. That specific job. You know, it would be like if Chris Stewart was the play-by-play guy for the Falcons and the Alabama play-by-play job came open.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be that kind of maybe comparison for a guy like that in that business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah.
You know what's crazy, though, about those jobs? Remember Gene Deckerhoff doing the Bucks and Florida State simultaneously?
Yes.
He wasn't flying around on G5s, you know, to go from Florida State Saturday night game to a 1 o'clock kickoff for the Bucks on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about. And Deckerhoff did that for a long time, as I recall.
He did. Oh, yeah. And, you know, obviously he's retired from Florida State. I think he still does the Bucks at this point. And by the way, one more Tennessee note here real quick. Now, Tennessee plays Syracuse and Atlanta to open the season. And this week, Syracuse quarterback Kyle McCord declaring for the NFL draft. So I'm we talked a few minutes ago about Tim Banks, the D coordinator. He's probably glad he's not having to deal with Kyle McCord, Trav.
Yeah. That's we're getting into some SEC ACC matchups for week one of the 2025 season. When we look at it from that perspective, but yeah, it's that time of year.
Yeah,
we still have roster movement to consider. We still have a national championship game. I need to ask you about that. What was your level of surprise, or were you, from the Notre Dame perspective, that the Irish was able to get past Penn State in that semifinal? I liked Penn State in that game. I liked Ohio State against Texas. Just watching Notre Dame and Penn State in that game, it just felt like Penn State had the better roster.
Yes.
Boy, Drew Aller, just some critical mistakes. And Riley Leonard wasn't great either.
No.
But give Riley Leonard credit for Notre Dame in that second half. He produced in a way that really helped his team overcome his mistakes.
Listen, the thing that really – I thought Notre Dame would win that game based on this, and this is something you and I have circled for years. Notre Dame leads the nation in takeaways.
They do.
32 of them, by the way, which I still think is amazing. And I'll tell you what, the jury was out with me on Marcus Freeman early on, but when you win 9 in your first year, 10 in your second, and 14 so far in your third year, that's trending up, would you say?
Yeah, and you start getting linked to jobs like the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Like we've seen from Marcus Freeman, and he's done a tremendous job. You know, it's another matchup. This almost feels to me with Notre Dame, Ohio State, kind of like Notre Dame, Alabama from the 2012 season, the last time we saw Notre Dame in a national championship game. But look, Notre Dame knows who they are. And they seem to have a knack for getting the kind of games they want you know, which is what they're going to have to do with Ohio State, because if Ohio State drags Notre Dame into the deep end, which means a lot of points, I don't like that for Notre Dame. But if it's another one of these sort of 20 to 17 deals, you know, there's something to be said for being comfortable and calloused in those kind of games that makes you comfortable and able to win them, even though the rosters and paper may tell us that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing what Al Golden has done? And Trev, to me, Al doesn't even look like him the way he looked at Miami, does he?
Total makeover. Yeah. No more ties.
No more ties
for Al. Yeah.
But he's done a great job with that defense. And one of the stats that I'm still chuckling at, teams that make the national championship game earn $20 million for their conference. Well, Notre Dame, Travis, you know, gets to keep all that $20 million.
That's some nice tithing. That's nice tithing for Notre Dame. That goes nice in the tray there.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and look, again, you talked about it, though, the takeaway aspect with that Notre Dame defense. And I know Will Howard's been great.
Yeah.
But I know there's another Will Howard that will throw the football to the other team on occasion. So I like Ohio State to win this game Monday night in Atlanta, Georgia. What about you? Who do you got in the game?
I agree. I think that, I think they will too. Frankly, without a doubt. Listen, 13 of the 22 offensive and defensive starters for Ohio State, they were 4 or 5 stars who signed in either 20, 21, or 22. Trev, is this one of the last teams we'll ever see, maybe, that has that many high school or players that came to the team through the normal being recruited through the high school ranks?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to sustain, you got to think. That's going to be tough to sustain. Let me ask you this, Brent, before we get out of here on the latest edition of Second Helping. Give me a letter grade now that the football season is over for the Southeastern Conference. Just for the league in 2024, came up short, won't play for a national championship as we know. Had one team in the semifinals in newcomer Texas. Give me a letter grade for SEC football, Brent, in 2024.
Yeah, there's no way to give them an A, but I will give them credit for – I mean, they won 8 bowl games, probably should have won about 3 more, and they still got 3 teams into the playoff, although Greg Sankey was certainly aiming for 4. I would say B-.
Yeah.
Something like that. Is that fair?
I think it is. I'd probably go B minus C plus, you know, satisfactory, but it kind of speaks to the standard that the league has set, especially over the last 20 years or so. Mm-hmm. When you almost talk about it in terms of disappointment, which I wouldn't go that far to call it that. You didn't have a Heisman Trophy finalist. You don't have a team in the national championship game. Relative to what we've seen in the last couple of decades, it wasn't the best season. It wasn't a disappointment. So I'm with you. I'm probably right there in that sort of B minus C plus range for the Southeastern Conference. Brent, what else you got for us before we get out of here on a Wednesday night?
Yeah. A couple last things and a question. One, certainly, Bill McCartney passed away at 84, former Colorado coach. People forget McCartney won a national title, split it with Georgia Tech in 1990. And on a more local note, a guy that you and I are very appreciative of, folks may not know the name Jay Solomon, but Jay Solomon basically started sports radio in Jacksonville back in the early 90s, voice of the JU Dolphins, actually called some Miami Hurricane football games early on. We called attention because over the weekend was the anniversary of his death. Jay's been gone for 27 years, but Trav, you remember guys who helped you get started in the business, and Jay was one of those guys where he was willing to give guys like you and I a chance. Mm-hmm. And I, for one, I know you are too, will always be grateful for that.
Yeah. Jay, just one of the most gracious guys you would ever meet, and willing to help, and just a good person in a business that, well, it hasn't always been loaded with them.
Yeah. So yeah.
Very appreciative to the late, great J.U. Solomon.
Yeah.
I mean, think about voices of programs, things like Jacksonville University, things like that. Yes. Jay was that person and always will be.
He will be. And the final thing for me, Trev, pumps and birthday gifts did he come through this year?
Yeah, I need to check on that. Nana just had her 75th birthday.
Yeah.
So it better have been something better than Skittles this time around. I mean, 75, that's one of those milestone numbers. Now, yes. we kind of do these birthday get-togethers. We got so many in the family, thankfully.
Really?
We're grateful for that. That we'll just do like a 20 person get together at a restaurant or somewhere. So we got that coming up, but I will check on that. I needed to check on that with Nana. I did wish her a happy birthday the other day. Yes. I didn't get an update on Pops. So
okay.
I'll work on that and report back here on second helping. Brent, as always, a lot of fun with you. We certainly appreciate the viewers checking in with us on this Wednesday evening. If you haven't already subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, we hope you'll take the time right now. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. You'll be alerted to our shows as they drop here on the channel. And a thumbs up, a like is always appreciated as well. Brent, always a lot of fun. Always insightful from you. Look forward to doing it again real soon.
Me too, bud. Take care.
For Brent Beard, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here on Second Helping on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Until next time, so long, everybody.